So we're thinking this morning a bit about being part of the church family, and that's why we've been hearing so much news from the church family abroad and about caring for the church family. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to help lead the church there and to care for it, because Paul is concerned about the church there and what's going on. So we're going to think very briefly about some of what Paul has to say at the beginning of his letter. So we're at the beginning of 1 Timothy, the first 11 verses, page 1191 if you're using a church Bible. If you don't have a church Bible, wave a hand and I'm sure someone will bring you one. Let me read those first 11 verses for us. Page 1191. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. See, the big problem in Ephesus that Paul wants Timothy to get sorted out is that there are people who are teaching things to the church there which just aren't true. If you're teaching things that aren't true, it can be really dangerous. That song's making fun of all the things that people assume to be true in history, but actually aren't, like Robin Hood and King Arthur and the Round Table and all that kind of stuff. Sir Galahad? No such lad. They're what we call myths. Stories that have grown up over a long period of time, but actually aren't based on anything that actually happened in reality. And Paul says here in 1 Timothy that there are people in Ephesus who are teaching things that aren't true. And he mentions there in verse 4, myths and endless genealogies. Now, genealogies are lists of family names. And there are some in the Bible which are quite true. It was really important that Abraham had a son called Isaac. Why? Well, because God had said through Isaac, his promises would be fulfilled. But what people in Ephesus were doing, it seems, is they were taking lists of names and stories from outside of the Bible, and they were talking and teaching about them to everyone. Basically, to show how clever they were. That was their purpose. They wanted to show how clever they were. And Paul says, tell them to stop, Timothy. Tell them to stop doing it. See, here's how Paul wants Timothy to care for God's family. He says, stop people teaching things that aren't true. So one of the most important things ways in which we can care for God's family is to teach them truth about who Jesus is and what he's done. That's one of the best ways we care about God's people. That's why we open the Bible each week. In this room here, and in our Sunday school classes. Because we want to teach what is true about who God is and what he's done. Because that's how we care for one another. We teach what God says in the Bible, not what we think or our best guess. Because that's what people in Ephesus were doing. They were teaching what they thought. They were teaching their best guess. So verses 4 and 5, these endless genealogies and myths, they promote controversies which are rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. You see, what these people are doing is they like to talk and discuss about obscure and odd things. They don't want to concentrate on the important stuff. The things that are clear about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Now, of course, when Paul says that controversies are bad here, he doesn't mean that we should never disagree. He doesn't mean we should never disagree or that every opinion that's offered is right. Because he's just been telling Timothy to stop people teaching some things, hasn't he? But no, these controversies are about people who just like to speculate and to debate and to wonder together. And why? Well, I think it's because they like the sound of their own voices. They like listening to their own wisdom. They want, verse 7, to be teachers of the law, don't they? They want to be seen as wise and intelligent and learned and experts by talking about all sorts of myths and genealogies that make them sound very clever. But actually, all they do is produce lots of hot air and disagreements and confusion. That's the result. And here's the thing, verse 7, they haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Isn't Paul nice and gentle at that point? They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't got a clue. They're rabbiting on with no knowledge. So what then should teachers be teaching about? Well, it's there in verses 4 and 5. It's about God's work. Rather than promoting controversies, we should be promoting God's work. Seeing again all that Jesus has done for us. That's God's work. His work in Jesus for us on the cross. And what will be the result? Did you spot that? The result will be love amongst God's people. The goal of this command is love. So how does that work? Well, what they're doing, what these false teachers are doing, is all about defending their own point of view. It's all about pushing your argument forward and showing how clever you are. In contrast, talking about God's work in Jesus reminds me that I am loved and that I am forgiven, that I am rescued. The good news of sins forgiven and of hope restored frees me to love others. It opens me up to celebrate being part of God's family. Because a pure heart here is one that's forgiven, one that knows it's been forgiven. A good conscience, verse 5, is one that knows there is no guilt, no accusing finger, because Jesus has paid the price for our sin. A sincere faith is one that trusts the Lord Jesus for all that he's done for me. So I don't need to show in that case how clever I am, because it doesn't depend on how clever I am, but on what God has done for me. And so because I'm secure in that, I can then love the family of God, because I don't have to prove myself. Jesus has done everything for me. So do you see the importance of good teaching, of teaching what is right and true and proper? It always promotes God's work. It always talks about what God has done for us. And do you see what the purpose of good teaching is? The purpose of good teaching is to promote God's work, not to make you cleverer, not to make you more knowledgeable, but to make you more loving. That's the purpose of good teaching. It produces love amongst its listeners. So how do we know if we're a church that's got good teaching? Well, do we love one another well? Because that's what good teaching is all about. So will you pray for people who teach you? Will you pray for people who teach you here and here on a Sunday morning and in our Sunday school groups around and about and in our home groups? Will you pray that we would teach one another well? Pray that we wouldn't love the sound of our own voices, Sunday school teachers or preachers or home group leaders, but that we would speak of God's work for us. And let's pray that we would produce the fruit of love amongst one another as a result. Let's pray to that end now, shall we? Father, we thank you for the wonder of what you have done for us. We thank you that you have forgiven us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word, the Bible, which points us towards the Lord Jesus and all that he has done for us. We thank you for the privilege that we have in this country of gathering together freely to hear it taught in our Sunday school groups and in here and in our home groups. And we pray for all those who are involved in helping others to understand the Bible. We pray for our preachers and our Sunday school leaders and our home group leaders. We pray that they would be those who don't love the sound of their own voices, but who love to talk about God's work for us. And we pray for us as your family here in Stevenage and as your family across the world, that as we hear more of the Lord Jesus and what he's done for us, that you would produce love in our hearts for one another as a result. Please would that mark us, not as those who grow more clever or more knowledgeable, but as those who grow more loving. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his glory. Amen.